Chapter 8. Right Livelihood. Not long ago, I had lunch with a friend, a young actor. Like most actors, he is poor and struggling, still looking for his first major role. "I really love acting," he declared with animation. "Of course, I'm not making any money from it, but I wouldn't give it up for anything. It's my whole life." Clearly, my friend had found his calling. Lucky. "What do you love about it?" I asked. "It's all about expressing yourself."
"Expressing what?"
"Whatever. Expressing your emotions. In my craft, I can use everything I've ever experienced, anything I've ever felt, and there's nothing like standing on stage and expressing that to others. It's a great feeling." Our conversation reminded me of when I was younger and wanted to be an artist. I spent 4 years in art school, loving every minute of it, eventually receiving a university degree in art. In those years, I became quite adept in drawing and printmaking, but conceptual art was my primary interest. My preferred medium was found objects, which I spent long hours sawing, gluing, stapling, sewing, and welding into elaborate assemblages, immortal sculptural masterpieces. At least they were in my own mind. I wasn't a stranger to the flow state either, becoming so absorbed in my work that I often lost track of time, working late into the night. When not immersed in creating a print or sculpture, I'd spend time in coffee shops or bars with my fellow artists, all of us filled to the gills with bourbon, bellowing out rambling litanies about art and life, each of us seeking to create our own unique mode of expression. And of course, our uniquely original style was heavily influenced by other artists, who are influenced by others, who are influenced by others. Our world was very insular, our work replete with vague references to cultural trivia, or satirical references to others' work, or obscure inside jokes, but definitely full of hidden meaning. So hidden, in fact, that it was hidden from ourselves. I was thrilled one year when one of my works was selected for a juried art exhibition. Proudly poised by my work the opening night, I was anxious to hear others' assessment of my art, standing by for the accolades that were sure to come. One stout elderly woman, sporting Coke bottle glasses, a faded print shift, thick-soled shoes, and carrying a large nylon net shopping bag, stopped to look at my piece in silence for a long while. She had a slightly quizzical expression on her face, as if she had gotten lost on her way to bingo and couldn't quite make out how she had landed here.
"You the artist?" she asked pleasantly.
"Yep." Nodding toward my masterpiece, she said, "What does it mean?"
"Nothing really. It's just something I made up."
I wasn't lying. Like most of my artist colleagues, none of us really started with a coherent message or meaning we were trying to convey. It was not meant to instruct or uplift. Our work was merely a collection of images that, for one reason or another, struck some chord in us. The meaning came later. Whatever meaning an observer wanted to ascribe to the piece was up to them. A powerful commentary on postmodern existential valor in the crusade against the incessant groans of angst-ridden, cranky Belgian dust mites. The eternal radical interplay between the positive and negative space of polar corn husks. A really cool yellow thing on top of that orange fuzzy thing. Who cares? The most that the artist could hope for was to elicit some emotion from the viewer. The specific emotion didn't really matter. It could be inspiration, joy, laughter, sadness, anxiety, fear, disgust, or anger. Take your pick. It made little difference, although disgust or anger were popular favorites in my day. The lady continued, "Can I ask you a question?"
"Sure."
"Well, I really like your, thing. I mean, it's interesting and all." I was all ears. "So don't get me wrong," she continued, "but I'm just wondering, does this really help anybody? I'm just wondering, what's the point?" Not a question to inspire great affection for the woman, and one that would normally put an artist on the defensive. And it was a question to which I had not given a great deal of thought.
I don't know," I shrugged helplessly. "But I'm glad that you liked it," said I, fleeing as if she had the Ebola virus.
It was not long after that I gave up art to pursue a career in medicine.
Incidentally, lest I inadvertently offend any individuals working in the arts, since that time, I have gradually come to recognize and appreciate the tremendously positive impact that the arts have had on society and the world.